some homework to do. Last week, I yelled at Andrew because what I heard him say is memories when he should have said memory. Well, after stretching it out through a voice recognition system and stretching out every syllable, he did say memory is. And when you say memory is, it's very easy to hear memories. Okay? So I was wrong, he was right, and I apologize. And I'll probably do it again and need to apologize again, but okay. Sorry about that, Andrew. The reason, the main reason, and not the main reason, but also, usually when I talk about these things, which I didn't do last week, I very clearly say memory, why, so that you know, or I speak or try to speak very clearly and say memory is without slurring or contracting memory. Or I'll say memories S, which means the memories that you use all the time. Now it's important, and I didn't do that last week. Probably if I'd have said had been saying memory Y or memories S, he would have said that too. Well, I'm going to use, if we go ahead with tonight, I'm going to use memory and memories Y and S very clearly. And they are distinctly other or different, and importantly so, not to be interchanged at all. So, I thought he had interchanged it. I was wrong. He did not. He was correct. So, Andrew's apology. So, starting tonight, as you believe today, you believe that suffering and death are unavoidable. That's funny, Andrew?
Well, that's wrong.
Who's laughing so?
Oh, it is me.
I thought it was Andrew.
Couldn't you tell the laugh was in German? Now you know for sure.
Okay. Well, you believe that suffering and death and grief and disappointment and all of these things are unavoidable.
I agree.
And this actually makes your present life meaningless. If death and suffering are unavoidable, you have no meaning in your life. Illness is unavoidable. Life is meaningless. If you don't agree with me, fine, then say something. But my presumption is that if I don't hear anything, that you understand what I've said, and I'm going to go on from there. Is it possible, even do you suppose, that there is an unseen, unrealized truth behind all of your languaging that changes everything? Well,
you're saying that even that which I believe represents suffering and disappointment and grief, it can actually reveal what's really going on.
Well, I'm just saying that. Have you not considered, like our conversation, you think of the distance between you and the wall as space, and I'm saying no, it's a distance, it has nothing to do with space. And if there is something in that space or environment or atmosphere between you and the wall, then it isn't space that we're talking about. It's the atmosphere or environment or stuff that exists between you and the wall, even if you don't see it. Is that okay?
Yep, that's okay.
So what I'm saying is, once you begin to then think that suffering and death exist and are unavoidable in the world, then, and that's languaging, then is it possible that languaging that in that way makes your life meaningless?
That's entirely possible. I can see that as, if it's unavoidable, there's nothing you can do about it.
And therefore, if there's nothing you can do about it and you're going to die or whatever, then no matter what you do now, today, it's like I've been watching West Wing. I love that show lately. And if you rise to President of the United States, it's all meaningless. Doesn't mean anything when you are actually facing you're going to die. Then what the hell difference did it make?
Yep.
So the point is, it doesn't mean then that we should use languaging in other ways to say, oh, then you mean that I can live without death and without suffering. You can't go to that. But is there a third thing that might be concealed behind the language of death and suffering itself? Not the opposite. You don't need to go there. Is this okay with you, Patrick? I'll talk to you tonight. I'll leave Sally alone for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that it doesn't work to just try to go to the opposite.
Well, you do that all the time. So how can you then say to me, I see that going to the opposite doesn't work, and then what does work? Because if you say going to the opposite doesn't work, then you're stuck with, let me see now, suffering and death are unavoidable, and so therefore life is meaningless. If that first statement is true, then going to an opposite doesn't work. Then you're stuck. And that's the limitation of language.
Well, what's occurring to me here is that there's people who have recognized that sleep and suffering and death are unavoidable, and they have fashioned the opposite through religion in an attempt to overcome that.
Wait a minute. I agree. But you just said the opposite doesn't work. Are you now going to tell me religion doesn't work?
I suggest to you that's unavoidable.
Then you haven't solved a damn thing.
No, it just takes it off the table and we're back to unavoidable death and suffering.
It doesn't take it off the table, because religion comes back and says that life is misery and suffering. So it doesn't take it off the table. What then to you would take it off the table?
That it's just a non-event.
It can't be a non-event. You can't non-event it. It's an event. your dog died, your brother died, and other folks have died, and it's that's centered in. And you can't make it a non-event merely by saying, well, that's a non-event.
And it does follow that I can't, or it's not useful to say, well, it's not important.
You can't say that it's not important because it is important that unless you can tell me an alternative or a what's going on or something of that nature, then it is an important event, regardless of what you want, and it's unavoidable, and that makes life meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
What then are you will? I'm asking you, in your life, then are you willing to say or mean or understand or what about this suffering and death?
Well, I'm willing to see myself as an eternal being.
What does that mean? Does an eternal being have no suffering? It doesn't do you any good. You suffer. Does an eternal being have no death? Doesn't work. You die. Now, if you think that this is a pure, unadulterated exercise in language, you're right. It is. Language is really putting the screws to you. What are you... And all I ask is, what do you want? Whoever asked you and said, hey, you can have whatever you want. You want suffering and death? You got it. Come on, Patrick.
So then,
everybody's cheering you on, hoping that you give them the answer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They want the third option as well.
They want to know that there is at least a third option, or that all of that language stuff is concealing something. Oh shit, I never realized that. Once you define space as nothing, you can't come back and say, oh, it twists and turns and compresses and etc. That don't make any sense. So, is it possible that suffering and death reveals something other than suffering and death, or reveal not the opposite of suffering and death?
I don't know how to answer that. And
Wait a minute. Well, the question that's on the table really is, what do you want?
I want to continue.
You want to continue in your suffering and death?
No. I simply want to continue as awarefully continue as an awareful entity.
Okay. Let's assume that for the moment. Then, if I begin showing to you, even call it word challenges, I don't care what the hell we call it, but if I begin showing to you I'll change that word. Are you willing to say then that everything, let's assume that's the context, you want to continue, is that okay?
Okay, that's the context.
That's the context. Are you willing to say to me then that You will hear or listen to everything I say as enabling you to continue.
Yeah. Yes, I will.
That's the context. That's the foundation. No matter what I say, that is something somehow relative to creating a picture or an image of how you can not only continue, but that you can continue awarefully, knowingly, and experience your continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Then, instead, here's what I want from you then. Instead of yeah-butting, disagreeing, or following your old concepts of life, which have nothing to do with continuing, only about suffering and death, are you willing to take every sentence and say that somehow or other this is leading you to see how, or the meaning behind, leading to showing you how you can awarefully continue. Is that okay?
That's okay.
And that if you question me, the only question I want to hear from you then is, well, how does that show me, what does that show me about continuing? Is that okay?
Yep, so with each sentence, and if I don't get it, I can ask you directly, what does that show me about continuing?
Yeah, so that instead of yeah-butting what I'm saying by bringing up your old concept, we're now saying the only context that you are interested in is how you can awarefully continue, and that if you don't understand something, then maybe if I'm speaking to you in only in those terms, and I have only spoken to you in those terms, well, maybe once in a while, if I'm only speaking to you in those terms, then you have the right to ask me how that applies to your awarefully continuing. Is that okay?
That's fine, yes.
Okay, then the degree to which memories conceal memory, the degree to which cause and effect substitutes for emergent, and beginnings and endings distort eternal, or you want to continue in life essentially as you believe yourself to be today. The source and ultimate nature of you dries up, and your eternal resplendence is forsaken. Got all of that?
So every one of those things that you listed limits me, and I forsake my eternalness in continuing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All,
every use, no matter, not why, doesn't matter, but when I say cause and effect substitutes for emergent, beginnings and endings distort eternal, or you want to continue a life essentially as you believe yourself to be, or that memories conceal memory. All of those things, no matter what it is, in any way, however those are applied in your life, then the source and true nature of you dries up, and your eternal resplendence is forsaken. Is there any of those ideas in there that you don't see how that occurs?
There are none, and I'm just going to check one word you used when you first introduced it. You used the word "to the degree that."
Any degree.
Okay.
Any degree. in that regard, then you're drying up your source and ultimate nature of yourself.
Okay, got that.
In other words, there's no... You could dry yourself up or dry that up and not really, 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 really damage you, but it does, in a sense, dry up your eternal resplendence in that it's forsaken. Now, you understand all that, right?
I do.
Okay. So, my object in these presentations that I've been doing is to offer you an entirely different understanding of life and your place in life than that which is presented by science or by religion, and certainly different than what is presented by mystics and philosophers. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
Everything, we can also add to that then, that everything you've ever read or heard about religion, science, mystics, and etc. follows the pattern of language. Only. Even if you want to go to Buddhism and it says otherwise, Buddhism then only talks in terms of language. So, follow any of those things in that way as you've heard them be, and they follow the pattern of language. They argue for and against language, and in that then you forsake yourself. Is that okay? I mean, do you understand that?
I understand that.
So every presentation may be against what religion... I may not be against religion, but I am certainly against what religion says. Is that okay?
Why would you just make that distinction? How does that... Where does that fit to be not against religion, but against what religion says?
Because I'm willing to be against, I mean, maybe I'm not against religion in saying in that way, then your religion is the self and life you live. But I am against what organized religion says or declares, that there is a God, you must worship the God, that you must be faithful to God, and etc. I could say then that, are you willing to worship yourself? Are you willing to be faithful and true to yourself? And all I've done in that is said then that self, eternal self especially, substitutes for God. I would love you have a religion of self rather than the religion of God. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand the distinction you're making, and that's
so it's still a religion. It's the way you live, but what religion says about God. Well, let's put it this way: would you be willing to say to yourself about yourself what religion says to you about God?
Yes.
Would you be willing to be that and live that?
Yes.
After all, now, if you want to continue, well, maybe only God-like folks continue.
That just may be true.
Okay. So then, maybe you are of the like ilk of God for you. Is it possible that those who trust and have faith in God actually feel for themselves that that is a good, right, better thing to do for themselves. So they're not actually in that doing it for God, they're doing it for themselves. And that's a religion of self.
Are there people you know who actually do that?
Do what?
That while they look like they're doing that relative to God, they're actually doing it to themselves?
They are. I don't have to say, are there people doing that? I'm saying that that's the only thing you can do. You aren't doing it for God per se. You think it is in your best interest to do it or to say for God.
Ah, okay. Got that.
So they're kidding themselves. I'm looking at what seems to be going on in a consistent way or pattern. Is it possible then that those who defend God are defending themselves without knowing it?
Taking what you just said, yes, that is possible, without even knowing it.
That's pretty swift there, Raj. I never thought of that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you suppose there is an unseen, unrealized truth behind all of your languaging that changes everything?
That sure would be neat to see.
I just showed it to you. If I said, that was a question that I asked you in the opening statement, and you say it would be neat to see. If Andrew says, maybe I see that all of the things that we say about God are the same as the things you would say of yourself, isn't that then a truth behind the languaging, let's say, of religion, of God, of all of those things? Isn't that possible that that is the truth you really, really, really would like to have?
So just apply that same pattern that religion applies to God, apply it to myself.
Let's assume that for the case, for the moment. Is that okay?
That's pretty easy to understand.
Well, then have we not exposed an unseen, unrealized truth behind all of your languaging about religion that changes everything?
Yes, it does.
Is it possible that that is true about space and time and life and everything else, that changing even just one word like that, or maybe in all of these regards, substituting self or eternal self, everything changes, and I didn't go to an opposite. I merely set a new context for everything said.
Absolutely. That is not an opposite in any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, is it possible then that suffering and death are unavoidable for your body but not for you?
And again, absolutely sidestepping any kind of discussion of opposites.
That's right. There are, in effect, then not opposites, but we always go there in that regard, don't find an answer. And so we go right back to the beginning. Suffering and death applies to the puppet, but not to the blue hand. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Am I getting anywhere trying to explain this?
Yeah, I think so.
So, in everything I'm saying, what I'm trying to do then is offer you an entirely different understanding of life. Well, let's change that. A different, entirely different understanding of self. Not a different understanding of God, but a different understanding of self. Because maybe we've pushed these other understandings ahead of you and then left you as an unknown behind your languaging. What if we pull you out from behind your languaging? Would you would you like to, if I say to you, would you give all these goodies to yourself, would that not then change your place or position in life rather than that presented by science and religion?
Oh yeah, science or religion.
How about science and religion and mystics and philosophy that said, give unto others, do service to others? What the hell happened to give unto yourself, do service to yourself? Is it
considered as ego?
I know, but that's just giving it a bad name, so you won't go there. And I'm saying, might there be a thing behind all of this, or behind the term ego as such? Ego means self, means I, means me. What the hell's wrong with me?
Like selfness?
Sure, what's wrong with that?
If I
do not concern myself with Simone, have I done you any ill, Simone?
If you are not concerned with me?
Yeah.
No.
So then, if I give my concern to me and not to you, I haven't done you any disservice at all.
No. Really, yeah.
If I do you harm, then we talk about the harm I do, and that may be a different, that's an entirely different issue, maybe, huh?
Yes, that's the Hammer story.
But I don't owe you anything, do I? I don't have to be of service to you, do I?
No.
Is there anyone in the universe you think I have to be service to?
No, but I just realized that I often think that.
Well, right. But maybe there is somebody in the universe you should give service to.
I to me.
Well, no, that isn't so tough, was it?
No.
If I do something for you, if I do a service to you, isn't it possible that the only reason I did service to you is because I felt in that I was serving myself in serving to you?
Absolutely.
So then is the basis of my doing then in that regard service to you or service to me?
Yeah, I agree.
So even in a relationship, that I do for my partner in a relationship, I am doing for myself.
Why did you put it that way?
I was following the pattern.
Well, let's change. Let's do the same pattern, but let's say it differently.
I am in service to my partner, I am actually in service to myself.
Why would you say that?
Have I misheard the pattern?
Well, yes and no, but now I'm trying to get you to strengthen your pattern. If I do service to God, would you say that in doing service to God, I am serving myself?
Yes.
Would you say that? Or hasn't the real pattern been, I am serving myself by doing service to God or to something or else? But the first aspect of that is service to me.
Ah, that's what you're pointing out. Okay.
You said if I do service to Karen, that as I do that, I am serving myself. But are you not, in fact, serving yourself by doing service to Karen? Maybe Karen doesn't even matter at all. Is it possible that in your life, Karen doesn't really, really, really matter? She's sitting across the table wondering where the hell this is going to go.
She just waved to you.
Huh?
She just waved to you.
Oh, thank you. Is that possible?
That's possible, yes.
Your brother didn't matter, your ex didn't matter, your dog doesn't matter, Karen doesn't matter, your kids don't matter. Is it possible that self is the only... I pause here. You wanted to continue. Can we say that your continuing is the only thing that matters? You and continuing.
I think we can say that, yes.
That's okay.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Or maybe it is a statement. So then, in this example, Karen, the dog, the brother are only instruments to serve Pat himself?
Oh, thank you, Simone. Isn't that possible?
Yes, you're welcome.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah.
You're using Karen, and she feels used.
My dog does, and my brother does.
Yes.
But is that okay?
Yeah, I think I see that.
I mean, once you do that, do you not begin to untangle the good, right, better, best, loving, compassionate stuff that we talk about all the time?
Wow,
yeah.
So, in that regard, are you willing, like the sentence says, or has been said, give unto others as you would be willing to give unto yourself? What if we say, use others just exactly as you'd be willing to use yourself? Does that change everything?
It certainly does. Use others exactly as I would use myself?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, when we say... See, Buddhism started, or it was even before that, but let's say Buddhism said, do not do to others what you would not have done to you. Well, Jay Seek of the law said, well, that's too negative. So do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So in that, are you not expecting to be done unto?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Well, then if we say, use Karen exactly as you would be willing to use yourself eternally, who to doing?
Yeah.
You aren't even asked to get it. from somebody else, expect them to do unto you, you, God, life, anybody, etc., you're doing it. Is this okay?
Yes, that's perfectly okay.
Can we say then that if you want to continue, you got to damn well do it?
Yeah. First time I have a clear image of that. Yes.
Okay, then we have to say, okay, all right, wait a minute now, I thought if I was going to continue, either the universe or God had to do it for me. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes me believe then that when you say, Roger, if you want to continue, you damn well got to do it for yourself, how the hell do I do that? But is it okay to say the universe offers you ways and manners to do that and know you're continuing today, and the universe never interferes with you? So the universe doesn't say, oh, if you do it right, I'll continue you. And if you don't do it right, I won't continue you. And God doesn't do that either. Is this okay? It's up to you, Patrick.
Yeah, the universe doesn't interfere, period.
Okay. We can even say, hell, the universe doesn't give a shit. Is that okay?
Yeah.
The universe will support either decision that you make, or even a third one. Is that okay?
Yeah. We could go back full circle to suffering and death. The universe won't interfere.
Not at all. It won't cause it, it won't stop it, it won't interfere. Is that okay?
That's really important. Won't what? Cause it, won't stop it.
It won't interfere.
Wow.
You know, so we go on, say, God and God is unconditionally loving.
Oh boy, something's loud.
We're getting feedback from somebody. Angela, is that you in Thailand?
Wait. I don't think so. I haven't done anything different.
Well, we're getting a buzz. We thought maybe it was Thailand's system.
Let me mute myself here.
Go on mute. Okay.
No, it didn't help.
Well, it helped us when for a moment there.
Well, does it sound better? Okay, I'll mute.
Go on mute. Okay. It must have been Thailand. It's either Thailand or Canada. We can blame it on either one.
Okay, we're the furthest away, yeah.
Are you okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah, I really am. Really, really am.
The problem
is... Somebody...
What?
It sounds maybe somebody's eating, and it's... No, maybe not.
It's like a scratching.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
So what I'm trying to do then, as I'm trying to do tonight, is to give you an understanding about life and yourself beyond the distorted language beliefs that we have struggled with for so long. And that is, you know, you got to do the good, right, better, best thing, and then in that you will earn some way or another eternal life or that you are an eternal being in the universe, but you don't know that. You don't know any way, or don't have any way of knowing that or anything at all of that way. And so therefore, you sure as hell know suffering and death. Is it possible that the only purpose that I am talking about in all this, I really don't care about your life today. I got to push that in there again. What I am interested in is getting it so that you can fill your mind and life with what you is most important to you. And what I said that is most important to you is that of awakening your eternal self and awarefully living eternally. So, you say, what I want to do is awarefully continue. Okay, fine. We're on the same purpose here, Patrick. So, anytime I say anything, you don't understand how in any way that enhances or enables, I like to be an enabler of this to you, enhances or enables your living eternally.
Is anybody there?
Yes, we're here.
Hello?
Angela, we're here. If you can't hear us. So, Angela, you're off, cut off, apparently.
I can't hear anybody.
Well, we're here. Sorry. Bye. Are you okay with me, Patrick? Are you there?
Yes, I am. And I am okay.
Is it possible that all of this will enable you to live as a live the illumination, meaning the wisdom and understanding that you desire as a resplendent being? My question to you then, is it possible that all of this is leading to an understanding of you as a condition of God or Godness?
It's possible, yes. Seems to go there.
Is it possible that if you want to continue awarefully, that all of this is supported by expansive and extensive minding, not by love and compassion, and not by good and right deeds? Is that okay?
Yes.
Because expansive and extensive minding is up to you, while love and compassion and good and right deeds are the judgments of someone or something that you have decided, by default, by the way, will grant
you... Are you still there?
We're still here. Simone...
Yes?
Well, did you hear me?
No, I can hear you.
No. Okay, well, okay. Are you okay with this, Patrick?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Could you can conceive of everything in the universe, including you, existing in an environment of memory?
The universe, including me, existing within an environment of memory.
Why?
Yes.
I don't mean why. I mean memory. Why, not I. Yes. Okay.
O-R-Y. Yep.
If you say yes, then tell me just for a moment, what might be the distinctive nature of memory? Why?
That it is stable and consistent.
Okay, so then that we can say the past of the universe is memory, is past, is stable and consistent. It's stable and consistent because that past is as it was.
Yes.
And could you conceive of the universe or you living in an environment with no past?
Could you repeat that question?
Could you conceive of the universe, including you, living in an environment of no past?
No, I cannot conceive of that.
So are you willing to say then that with no past, there is no present?
We can say that.
And that then, therefore, everything, to whatever degree, only lives in an environment of past. Is that okay?
Yes.
And that environment of past, then, in this regard, is memory?
Is memory why?
And memory why?
Yes.
Because it's actual, factual, trustable, this is what occurred, period, memory.
Yes.
Don't you live in the environment of this is what you've done?
In fact, but what do I, don't I have a tendency to want to rely more on, right today, the way I live, don't I have a tendency to want to rely on memories, yes?
I don't necessarily disagree that. Then are memories S reliable, factual, actual?
No, they shift and grow and contract and do all kinds of weird things.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that memories can go and contract and twist and bend and all do all of these things?
That's what I'm saying.
Is it possible then that when Einstein was talking about space that does all those funny things, in fact, he was talking about memories S and didn't make any sense of what he was talking about?
That's possible. Holy crow. Wow.
And if then you're saying then that you today might live, and you surely do, in the memories S, that in the environment of the memories S that you have fabricated for yourself, the things you have done and the things you lie to yourself about and say, well, this is what I really did.
That's exactly it.
Is that okay?
Sure.
So then you not only live in an environment of memories S, but you are a creation of the environment of memories S that you created.
Suffering holy sheep shit. Yep.
Is it possible then for us to say, reasonably so, gee, that if you think you live in an environment of suffering and death and can't do anything about it, that those are memories that you have created for yourself and refuse to do anything about it?
That seems to be what's happening, yes.
Is it possible for us to say that you, Patrick, live in an environment. Now, the environment doesn't have a mind to create memories, but the environment does have the ability to memory-why all things. In other words, it memories all things and lives in its own memoried why environment. Is that okay?
Yes, I think that's an important distinction. Vital, not important, vital.
Then is it possible that while there is you today living in an environment of memories, personal as you've made them, that there is a you that is living today in, like the universe, an environment of memory?
Yes, that's entirely possible.
When I know it's difficult to get clear on the difference between memory and memories, Y or S. So, right here, since we're talking about this, let me see if you could understand. When you read on the site, the latest site, that I write in numbered passages instead of paragraphs, is there any correlation between memory and memories correlated with passages and paragraphs?
So, yeah, I think the numbered passages are, let's say, a memory package.
Well, wait a minute. Talk to me about memory package. What did you say about that before?
That it's steady and reliable.
Then, if my passage is complete, is it steady and reliable?
Yeah, I was going to say it's steady and complete unto itself.
Yeah.
All right. Then can we say in the same way that a paragraph is not necessarily steady and complete, nor is it self-contained?
Right.
Yes.
And a paragraph is filled with beginnings and endings.
And cause and effect.
And cause and effect. And a passage has no periods or endings within it itself, and is not based on cause and effect. Is that okay?
Yes.
So does that mean then that if memory is fixed and complete, or whole and complete, then I could take any passage or any memory, why, throw it up in the air and reassemble it, and the wholeness and the completeness remains and makes sense.
Okay, that actually, I did not understand earlier when you said that memory was like this is what happened or this is what occurred, because I was thinking if you couldn't do that, you know, what you just said, throw them up and put them all down.
Why can't I?
No. My thinking was that that should be what memory does, but I couldn't explain it. So, okay, I think I got what you're saying now.
So
each complete thing did occur.
Let's call it, listen to this then.
Okay.
As we talk about bits of data and say aspects of memories, i.e.s., can we talk of MIMS, M-I-M-S, of memory? So every MIM of memory, like a passage, is complete in itself, and I can rearrange it.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Is this okay with you?
Sorry, just be clear. A MIM is equivalent to a passage?
a mem of memory, let's say, would be equivalent to a passage. It might even be equivalent to, let's say, a gene or a cell, a gene of a genetic pattern or cell of your body.
Right, I got it. Okay.
You okay with this, Patrick?
Yep, I'm following along, although I'd talk a bit about why it makes sense if you the proverbially throw the passages up in the air and pick them back up in any order, and they still...
Because they're complete within themselves. Nothing prior leads to something afterward. Nothing afterward is based on what is said prior. Cause and effect falls into that category in all regards. But if we want to get out of cause and effect, then we have to be complete and there be no need for a particular pattern. Is that okay?
Yeah, right. There you go.
Is it possible that when I number them, I am numbering them to establish a certain sequence?
Mm-hmm.
Also so that we can back and forward reference, but that the numbers create a certain sequence. But if I cut them up and throw them up in the air, since each, could I, if I have baseballs, footballs, soccer balls, and cars, and golf balls, and windows, each of which is complete within itself, does it mean that I have to have them in any sequence?
No. Not particular. No, nothing said that.
So I can understand every one of those things that I named individually on its own merit.
Right.
And I can understand in the same way every passage on its own merit.
Does it follow then that you are also able to sequence them any way you desire?
Of course. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question, Patrick. Can I sequence them for any occasion that I choose?
Of course. Holy crow, yes.
Then we've discussed this in sequencing them in when I sequence them, have I not created time and not time?
Time and non-time, yes.
So time, like space, is nothing except that it allows me to establish a sequence or a passage in that, a passage or a movement in that regard. But time is nothing itself except the sequence or the passing.
Right. Same with space.
What?
And the same with space.
Absolutely. So, if we're talking about time, we're not really, really talking about time. We're talking about something else. Just like if we're talking about space, we're not talking about space. We're talking about something in space or something in time and not space.
Oh, now I understand what you were saying. Okay.
Then that means that space-time that Einstein created per se is all crap shit.
Well, he was trying to find God.
But it doesn't matter. But what they're talking about, it is something, but it's not space-time.
All right.
So then, is there the something behind, that's hidden behind the word space-time, that is really going on?
And this is memory.
What?
And this is memory?
Wait a minute. Simone, are you asking me whether space that what's going on is really memory, and with time, the only thing that we're talking about is memory?
That's what I'm asking, yes.
Well, very good. Yes, ma'am, that is absolutely 100% correct of what I'm saying. Now, is it also, Patrick, when you talk about the space between you and the wall, is that anything other than memory or memories?
No, it can be either one or a combination.
Oh, and when you measure from you to the wall, and or whatever the distance, or however you measure in time, is there, isn't that time too? Memory from here to there, or memories from here to there.
Absolutely,
that's interesting.
So time is only, in a sense, memory, or memories, or a sequence. Is this okay?
Yep.
So if you take my passages, throw them up in the air, establish then a new sequence, have you not then altered space and time?
Say that again, please.
If every passage, like every mem of memory, is the mem of memory is the order or sequence in which it was lived, the same as it is the order of every passage as I have numbered it. Is that okay?
Yep.
If I throw them up in the air, and both of those are only memory or memories, if I throw them up in the air and reassemble them, have I not changed space and time?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now I have this weird question to ask. Don't you do that every night in your dreams?
Man, I tell you, I've been doing that a lot lately in my dreams.
Is that okay? We'll get into that in great detail. We've only gone through one page of 23, so at the rate we're going. So, is it possible then that by understanding the mem of memory, or every event of memories, and then if the memory is complete, then that I can throw them up in the mem in the air, reassemble them, and when I reassemble them, isn't what appears going to be different? Yet everything is the same, but everything is different.
Yes.
So every passage, you don't have to change the passage, change the order of the passage, and everything I said is exactly said as it is, but since the order is different, then that what I say is entirely different.
Yes.
What if the same is true of you in everything in your life, except that you connect things together and make them interdependent only in a fixed particular way? And when you do that, saying everything in life is a oneness or an interconnectedness and etc. in that regard, you screw yourself.
So any kind of fixed context, like a belief in God or a loving universe that creates everything, will have the same effect.
Even in the the order or connection of one to the other in that regard. Are you willing to speak of God as a complete fixed thing, and of time or an event or yourself, and throw these? Well, let me ask you this question then. If each one of those, as in memory, were fixed, and you could throw them up in the air and get a different appearance or answer, in the context of what we're saying, which is, how do you, or you, the context is, you want to continue and know or be aware of your continuing. Is it possible that just changing the order of things in that way would allow you to continue, would not interfere with your continuing, and would not interfere with your awareness of your continuing?
I can see that, yeah.
That by...
Yes, very much.
Is it possible then that putting things together only in a fixed order prevents you from being aware of continuing?
Yes, that's quite possible.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Is that okay with you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm like, so I'm such been a stickler for, you know, right answers and making sure I was very accurate in what I said, that didn't distort.
But you do
myself.
But what I've said to you is, you don't have to know everything, or if you were going to teach a group, all you have to do is to stay 1 week ahead of the group. So, and to take any one thing and know it well. You don't have to know everything, etc. Supposing, for instance, Andrew, you said, gee, I'm going to know everything relative to myself and my finest self in that regard.
All right.
And if you looked then in terms of writing or seeing things, not as they are interconnected, but as complete data and information or MIM or whatever, in and of themselves, that you could arrange those in, or have any of those happen in any order, and that would show you to your fineness, and you could take the same things, rearrange them, not change them, rearrange them, and you would see yourself in a different fineness?
Yeah. I mean, that's actually my favorite thing about the way I understand memory works. Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
But
do you mean memory why?
Memory why works, yes.
Okay, so then, if that's true, is it possible that you're relying on memories and the interconnections of memories, which create a complexity or a Gordian knot that you can't understand?
Every day, all the time. Wow. That's a lot of not understanding.
When I talk to these guys that come around here, I've come to talk to you about the Holy Bible. Well, okay, I say. We'll talk about this under one condition. If that is the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, change not one dot or tittle, whatever the word is, okay? Then every sentence says what God wants to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I'll talk to you about the Bible on those terms. You know what they always say? Oh, no, you can't do that. You have to take this as a in a complete context of everything relates to everything. No. I say, wait. Are you telling me that God says something? He doesn't mean that. He means something else. No, if he says that, and I have discussed this week after week after week after week, what Paul says, and in those terms, got these guys I was talking to years ago. If Paul says this, and that's the word of God, then that's what it means. It doesn't mean to go to Ecclesiastes or Mark or anything else to find out what that means, does it? You okay with that?
That's what they always want. Yeah, that's what they always want to do.
I know, but are you okay with that? Is it possible then that everything in your life functions in the same way? It says what it wants to say, nothing more, nothing less. It's not attached to anything else, nor is it dependent upon anything else.
Man, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
And then that, if that's true, you can establish the context of yourself that you'd be willing to be and live eternally, let's say, in that regard, showing yourself and others to their fineness, and so that everything would always then fulfill that context, no matter the order of the event. It always shows you that. And for Patrick here, it's always going to show you or talk to you only about continuing. Is that okay, Patrick?
That's just marvelous. Mm-hmm. That.
Then I got a question to ask you. Is it possible then to say that no matter what dream you're having, no matter anything you think about the dream, it's only talking to you about continuing?
No matter what I asked the dream to reveal.
That's right.
Because
even if you're asking a question, you're asking a question about continuing, so it's answering the question relative to the context of continuing. Is that okay?
That simplifies things a whole pile. Holy crow.
So, what you do then, like memories S, you take everything separate and say, what the fuck is this all saying, talking about?
Without the context, yes.
So, is it possible then, as we're just discussing this now, that you could establish in your life a central context, and everything, no matter what occurs, when it comes, how it comes, or anything else, will always make sense relative to that context?
Yes, that's more than possible. That seems to be very evident.
And so that it simplifies memory in that regard, simplifies every moment of every aspect of yourself in life, because you've given it a context of continuing, and that is what occurs. In other words, in the same way, can we say, since you're talking about continuing in this regard, is it possible that you then continue your memories, your attitudes, your emotions, your feelings, in an attempt to continue? But that's not the continuing you meant.
That's possible. Boy, I can see that going on. Yes.
And so you're saying, continuing, and so you continue all of that stuff in your life in order to say, oh, I continue. I surely do. Is it possible then that, allow me this for a moment, is it possible then that continuing itself is nothing, that continuing itself is like space, and space is only about measuring, and time is only about sequence or movement or passage, and continuing is only about arranging or rearranging as you desire?
Cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And in your case then, Andrew, fineness falls into the same category. Everything, there's not a good, right, better, best. The universe doesn't care.
Right. It doesn't.
It doesn't. So then that, if you take that out of the thing, then everything you do is your fineness.
Right.
But the only question is this the fineness that you truly desire? Which is the same as we can say to Patrick, well, everything that you're doing is continuing, but is this the continuing you desire?
Yeah. Which only reveals more fineness or more continuing.
There you go.
Continuing.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Yeah, it just gave me a whole understanding. That just put some things together for me in a big way.
Well, I have one ending question, which we'll start with. Can you conceive of everything in the universe, including you, existing in an environment of memory?
Yeah, of course. Really can.
And you can arrange that as you truly desire?
Seems to be. Yes, mm-hmm. It does.
Is that okay for you, Patrick?
Oh, sure, yes.
You're sure now?
Yeah.
You're not going to say...
I hadn't thought to put myself in that, but yeah, that really locks it in.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't know why, but yeah.
If you set up this context like this, let's say you're continuing or your fineness, aren't we saying only one thing? It's all about you.
Yeah.
It always was all about you. But if you wouldn't set the context, then you couldn't understand that what it was all about was all about you. Well, okay, we got a late start, but we'll stop there and pick it up there because that's actually where we ended last Monday. Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Bravo, really good one, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roger. That was super.
All right. We'll go from there.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.